Welcome to The End Zone, the Fandom Podcast Network's show that covers everything going on in the NFL as well as with some fantasy football. But we've got a very special edition of The End Zone here, as you might have noticed with some new opening theme. We've done a little cleanup around the NFL End Zone studio here, Kevin. I really like the Chiefs motif we've got going on.
I don't know what you're talking about. Chiefs motif? I did not approve this.
I left you a little corner of Raider stuff. There's a Lyle Alzado and a copy of the original Madden Football on Sega Genesis for you.
Great. That's awesome. Yeah, I got to make some changes here. But yeah, we got a new opening theme. I'm excited, man. We're back talking football. It's funny. It seems like we've been talking months and months that, we're going to have that off-season special. And we're like, well, let's wait till after the free agency. No, let's wait till after the draft. And then, of course, you got busy with work. And so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we do have a lot to talk about in this off-season special. And what we're going to cover with this special is a lot of the free agency moves, the NFL draft, and maybe talk about a couple little things that have gone on in the NFL. But before we do that, let's take care of some business. And of course, Kevin, this is the Fandom Podcast Network, and you can find all the great shows of the Fandom Podcast Network on our homepage at fpnet.podbean.com. You can also use the Podbean app on your mobile devices to find us. And of course, we're also on iTunes, Stitcher, and for those of you who use Android devices, on the Google Play app. And of course, you can visit us on our Facebook page at Fandom Podcast Network, as well as you can find us on Twitter at FanPod Network and on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network. And Kevin, where can people find you on the Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix.
Absolutely. You can also email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. And you can find me and the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl champions at AKyleW on Twitter. And you can find me on Instagram as the Raiders look forward to next year's number one draft pick, thanks to Chucky and his retirement home, at AKyleFandom.
Do I need to bring my Chucky doll over here and show you the business end of what he has? I will do that. I will do that.
But as long as it's not the Ready Player One version of Chucky, I don't feel too threatened.
You've seen the Chucky version, the Raider Chucky version here. You've been here. You've seen him. He's threatening.
not really. Sorry, but so Kevin, it's been a busy off season. So I think we kick it off though with some of the key free agent moves, because a lot of teams every year they try to bring in players who've been. Contracts are up or they've been cut for salary cap reasons, trying to find that piece to get them over the edge, to get them into the playoffs and in Super Bowl contention. And we had some pretty big names move around this offseason.
Oh, yes. Big money too, man. Big money. No whammies.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I think the big one we start off with is a couple of quarterbacks, Kevin. The first, of course, is the Minnesota Vikings basically clearing house at quarterback. All three quarterbacks that were on their roster last year are gone, Kevin. And they paid big bucks to bring in Kirk Cousins from the Washington Redskins.
Like something like $88 million guaranteed, I think.
100% guaranteed.
100% guaranteed for, what, 3 years? Or three years.
3 years.
Okay, so that's not a long contract, but it's a guaranteed contract. But then, Case, he heads over to Denver.
Case Keenum signs
with Denver. What was his contract?
I think it was only like a 2-year deal.
Okay, that's interesting. All right.
But the funny thing is then Denver went around and traded Trevor Siemian to the Vikings to be Kirk Cousins' backup.
Oh, man. So what other big quarterback news here? Of course, we had some re-signings, I guess, sort of.
Of course, we had Alex Smith traded to the Washington Redskins from the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
We had Sam Bradford go from the Vikings to the Arizona Cardinals. AJ McCarron, who was the backup in Cincinnati that a lot of people feel has a legit shot to be at least get a chance to be a starter, went to the Buffalo Bills.
Is he expected to be the starter there?
I think for right now, yeah, but we'll get into when we talk about the draft, we'll talk about the Bills quarterback situation. We also had Jimmy Garoppolo obviously get paid right at the end of the season last year. He's not leaving San Francisco.
He was the one that got the first big contract before free agency kicked in, right?
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
And of course, Brock Osweiler going to be Ryan Tannehill's backup in Denver, or not Denver, in Miami. Okay. So some interesting quarterback movement, but there's a lot of other players that moved. Let's kind of go through a little bit of the list here. C.J. Anderson, former Broncos running back, is headed to the Carolina Panthers.
I totally forgot about that deal. And speaking of, the Panthers may be sold for like $2.2 billion.
Yeah, the guy who was the minority owner in the Pittsburgh Steelers. Wow. Brandon Cooks, Patriots wide receiver and former Saints wide receiver, traded to the Rams to kind of fill in for Sammy Watkins, who ended up going to my Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes. And then we have more Rams news here. Ndamukong Suh, one-year deal with the Rams. Isn't that like a is that like a $15 million or $10 million contract or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. It's one of those one-year proven things.
Right, right. I remember because he actually had an appointment to meet with the Raiders, but as soon as the Rams thing happened, it was like, nah, we're canceling that appointment.
And that Rams defense is shaping up to be pretty scary, because not only do you have Ndamukong Suh lining up next to Aaron Donald, the NFL Defensive Player of the Year, the Rams also made some cornerback trades that I'm not sure about this, Kevin. It could backfire on them because they're bringing in some volatile personalities at cornerback with Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters.
Oh, gosh, yeah. That's going to get interesting.
That could be a little bit of an explosive situation. The Dallas Cowboys also had some changeover at the wide receiver position as Allen Hurns, late of the Jacksonville Jaguars, signed a free agent deal with the Cowboys, and the Cowboys released Dez Bryant.
Do you think this was kind of the beginning of the end for Dez Bryant here when they signed Allen Hurns?
I think the beginning of the end was towards the end of the last season with Dez Bryant. He just kind of fell off out of favor in Dallas. He doesn't quite have it anymore, and nobody signed him yet. He's still out there, so that's going to be kind of interesting. Terrell Pryor, who had some great years with the Cleveland Browns, went to the Redskins, did absolutely nothing, agreed to a deal with the Jets. Hopefully he can kind of rebound his career. Mike Wallace went to the Philadelphia Eagles. I actually liked that signing a lot.
The Eagles also dumped
Torrey Smith in that process. Frank Gore, who just continues to chug along, goes to the Miami Dolphins from the Indianapolis Colts.
Is he going to be the bell cow there?
I think so. I mean, they have that one other guy who they seem to like at the end of last season after they cut Jay Ajayi, but it's hard to say there. Miami's in one of those weird teams right, going into next season. We don't know what direction they're going. Eric Ebron, the tight end from the Detroit Lions, goes to the Colts, where he hopes Andrew Luck will be.
This is interesting. I'm wondering if that's the case. I really see him getting a lot of action, because we know was it Colby Fleener that Luck loves throwing to the tight end position.
Yeah, and I know one that didn't quite go too well in Raider Nation, because you guys really like this guy, was Cordarrelle Patterson, traded from the Raiders to the Patriots.
Yeah, we got a pick or two out of that, though. I don't know what exactly was going on there specifically. I just think that he was a little underutilized. You know, I know he was a return man and stuff, so I don't know what was going on there. Maybe they just didn't quite know what to do with him, and I think he was a casualty of, we're going to be making some changes, and we know what those changes are, and they don't include him.
Yeah. Another interesting signing, the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, goes from the Arizona Cardinals to the Houston Texans, just making that Texans defense, if everybody can stay healthy, really scary looking itself.
I think that's a good move for the Texans. I think that's a really good new move.
Yeah. The Detroit Lions continue their search to find a running back, signing LeGarrette Blount away from the Super Bowl champion Eagles.
Yeah, that's interesting. LeGarrette's still got some play in him, too. He's good. Dude's got some rings.
Yeah, he's done quite well for himself. I think one that was at least a hot topic of conversation in Raider Nation, Kevin, was the Raiders signing Jordy Nelson and then releasing Michael Crabtree, who agreed to the deal with the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, Crabtree was your leading receiver last year.
Yes, but he had an attitude, and things were coming out about earlier in the season that he was becoming a problem attitude-wise, and he was pissing off a lot of people behind the scenes. And it started with that, week 3 in Washington, where stuff started to change for the Raiders and go south. And yeah. a lot of stuff behind the scenes in the locker room was just becoming a little bit of poison with him. As good as he is, when it comes to attitude and you thinking you're bigger than the team and also being disparaging towards other team members very loudly behind the scenes, new Boston town, of course, they're going to start cleaning house with attitude issues.
Another big defensive player, Sheldon Richardson, who was actually traded to the Seahawks right before the start of last season by the New York Jets, moves on and goes to the Minnesota Vikings, adding to their already stout defense. Mm. Let's see, here we got Dontari Poe, who was with the Falcons, moves from the Falcons to the Panthers. He's making the NFC South rounds there.
Yes.
Another Raiders signing. I think this is a flyer. I don't know if this guy actually ends up sticking with the Raiders, especially since Marshawn is staying. But Doug Martin of the Tampa Bay Bucks moves on to the Oakland Raiders. He had fallen pretty hardcore out of favor here.
Yeah, I think they're getting him pretty cheap, if I remember correctly. And I think it's probably a 1 year deal unless he pulls something out and impresses everyone. He doesn't get hurt, but you know, I don't expect him to be healthy, but I think that they're looking for, I think they're looking for someone as maybe a switch of pace back to let Marshawn rest.
Yeah. And I think one of the more intriguing moves is the Patriots losing their starting left tackle Nate Solder to the New York Giants so he can protect Eli Manning's blind side.
Yeah, he could use all the help he can get.
Yeah. Jerick McKinnon of the Vikings moving on to the San Francisco 49ers. And this was a pretty big payday for him. I was a little shocked.
What did he get from that deal? I didn't hear that.
He got like $30 million.
How many years?
Like 5.
Interesting. So he's going to be the big guy there then. He's going to be, okay. Yeah. All right. Him and Garoppolo.
Yeah, because the 49ers also moved on from Carlos Hyde, who went to the Cleveland Browns, and after the draft, he might be regretting that decision.
Why did that happen? Why did they release Carlos Hyde? What was the...
Well, Hyde was a free agent.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay, so he was looking for a bigger payday than the Niners were willing to give, but then they gave a good one to McKinnon, so I don't know what the deal was.
Yeah. And then Deion Lewis goes from the Patriots to the Titans. Interesting move there. The Titans are, again, one of those teams next year that I just find kind of strange.
Mm-hmm.
And another Patriot going to the Titans, Malcolm Butler, who was definitely on the outs with the Patriots at the
end of the season. Didn't he sit during the Super Bowl or something like that? Yeah.
Yes, he didn't even play. And then Jimmy Graham moves on from the Seahawks to the Packers. I love this move. I think Jimmy Graham could have a career resurgence playing with Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yes. I think he's going to be real busy in Green Bay.
And in a move that I'm like, why were you thinking you're leaving Tom Brady to go to Ryan Tannehill? Danny Amendola goes from the Patriots to the Dolphins.
Or Danny Amendola sees the writing on the wall and does not think that he's going to get a championship with the Patriots again.
Yeah, that could be too. And I talked about this a little earlier. Wide receiver Sammy Watkins, who has all the talent in the world, just can't seem to stay healthy, agrees to a deal with the Kansas City Chiefs. I was a little taken aback. He got like a $16 million contract.
Wow. Wait, how many years is that?
I think it's a 3-year deal. But still, if he's healthy and he can get some rhythm down, and if anybody can turn a wide receiver around, it's Andy Reid. You put Watkins and Tyreek Hill on the field at the same time, that's a lot of speed out there for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wide receiver Allen Robinson agrees to a deal with the Bears, and he was with the Jaguars. What happened there?
Well, remember, he tore his ACL last
season.
And I think the Jaguars really played without him most of last season and decided to move on for salary cap reasons. And I think the Bears had a team that had extra money to overspend, and they wanted to get some weapons for Mitchell Trubisky. Okay. Of course, another big one, Richard Sherman gets cut by the Seattle Seahawks and grows right back down to home, because if you remember, he played for Stanford in college. And, of course, the Seattle Seahawks' biggest rival, the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting seeing him play up in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Tyrod Taylor goes from the Buffalo Bills to be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, where Coach Hugh Jackson says, Tyrod Taylor is the starter all season. Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that a little later. Jarvis Landry traded from the Dolphins to the Browns. So the Browns made a lot of interesting moves. That's an interesting wide receiver set you've got there with Landry, Josh Gordon, and Coleman.
Yeah, that's actually pretty stout, if you ask me.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Let's see here. We've also got defenseman Michael Bennett going from the Seahawks to the Super Bowl champion Eagles. The Eagles just adding to that defensive line.
Wow, yeah.
And a move I like that could go under the radar for a couple of years while he kind of relearns the NFL, Deshaun Kizer getting traded from the Browns to the Green Bay Packers.
You like that trade?
I do like that trade because I think Deshaun Kizer has talent. He was just in a no-win situation in Cleveland last year. I think going to Green Bay where he can work with Mike McCarthy and sit behind Aaron Rodgers for a few years, I think there's still talent there with Deshaun Kizer, and I think he could still be a quality NFL
quarterback. He ain't doing nothing as long as Aaron Rodgers is throwing, though.
Well, yeah, but I think it's going to be the same thing for Kizer like it was for Aaron Rodgers when he got there and Brett Favre was still there, so... But another interesting move, the Rams actually trading a defensive player to the Miami Dolphins and defensive end Robert Quinn. Torrey Smith goes from the Eagles to the Panthers. Linebacker Alec Ogletree going from the Rams to the Giants. Nice pickup for the Giants. I like Ogletree as a linebacker. So that kind of covers a lot of the big moves.
That's a lot, man. That is a lot.
As free agency. A lot of movement. But the teams weren't done yet because we had the NFL draft, Kevin.
Yes, we have the draft. Well, I didn't know before we moved to the draft if you want to talk about our individual teams' acquisitions and pickups, you know, and question those.
Well, when I look at what Kansas City did, Kansas City kept things pretty on the low key because they didn't have a lot of salary cap room, but they did. I did like the Watkins pickup. I think it's worth a chance there. They did sign linebacker Anthony Hitchens from the Dallas Cowboys. Really like that pickup. I also liked the signing of Chad Henne to come in and be the veteran backup to Patrick Mahomes this year. Henne's been around the league for a while. He's a solid backup quarterback. After that, it's been a lot of just kind of filling out the roster because, like I said, Kansas City did not have a lot of salary cap space this year.
Right. Well, I like the idea of them getting someone that's kind of seasoned backup for quarterback in case, God forbid, someone happens to your starter there. But I guess this is the year he tries to prove it.
Yep. Okay, and I'm just going to warn all the fans now. Kevin is about to put his Chucky hat on, so...
Well, you know,
danger.
I guess the biggest splash that we made in free agency was the Jordy Nelson signing, which I absolutely love. I don't know how much he has left in the tank, but I still think he has a good year or two left. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. Another great target. But, you know, there wasn't, you know, in the same, and we'll touch this on the draft, but for the free agents, there really wasn't other big sexy picks, you know, for the Raiders, but they filled. They went and filled a lot of needs, and that also reflected what they needed in the draft. You know, cornerback Darryl Woodley they signed, and I thought that was good. We could definitely use more help on the defense. Also, cornerback Sanquez Colson, former Lions.
Okay, wait. We need to go back to the Darryl Woodley signing for just a moment because we need a caveat.
Okay.
He originally signed with the Philadelphia Eagles, only to get arrested and then cut by the Philadelphia Eagles and immediately signed by the Raiders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, does that surprise you?
No, it's the Raiders and John Gruden.
Now, keep in mind that I think any new player that comes into the Raiders, this type of, you know, sketchy past isn't going to fly, you know, so... It's one of those things where, like, they're going to – the Raiders have always taken risks on these high-risk guys, and this is one of those things. And, I guess they think that, you know, when a player is cut for obvious reasons like that, if they feel that he can turn things around, they're going to pick him up, and they're going to pick him up cheaper. So, yeah. What else we got here? We also got defensive end Armonte Bryant from the Lions. That I thought was a good one too, helping up here. And I don't see a lot of these players and you know, a lot of these signings maybe eventually getting cut if they don't prove themselves, you know, during the offseason here. We also got Dwayne Harris. What else we got here? We got Leon Hall, cornerback. Yes, please. More, and he's a veteran too. Reggie Nelson also agreed to terms with the Raiders for a one-year deal, so we're keeping him again. And re-signed backup EJ Manuel for QB.
In other words, Derek Carr, do not get
yes,
hurt.
Exactly. And I'm going to address that later. We also have tackle Brino Giacomanini. So getting some help on the offensive line. Emmanuel Lamore, linebacker. So these aren't a lot of big sexy picks, but we also did get a QB. We got Josh Johnson.
Again, Derek Carr.
That's right. Kyle Weebler, we got linebacker. So you're seeing here. Oh, and cornerback Rashawn Melvin and the Raiders reached an agreement, $6.5 million deal. And that is a one-year deal there.
Okay. You're missing one, though, that it might not be on that list because it only happened pretty recently. And
I'm still going through the list here, but go ahead.
I want to talk about your signing of former Kansas City Chief Derek Johnson.
Oh, yes. I knew you were going to get to that.
Well, I'm a huge Derek Johnson fan. This guy has been a Kansas City Chief for his entire career. He is 36 years old. Kansas City had to make salary cap space. He's coming off of two torn Achilles. And so, you know, I wish him well. I wish he wasn't going to the Raiders. If he's healthy, it's a one-year deal. I mean, and if he's healthy, he should be a nice addition to your defense.
Well, we also got former 49ers defensive end Tank Carradine as well. So, you know, and then we also got this was something that we were looking to do, and we needed a long snapper. So we got Andrew Diapola. He signed a four-year, $4.5 million deal with the Raiders. Which I guess is a cheap deal there. Cause you need a good long snapper. You can't, those guys can't mess up.
Yeah.
What else have we got here? We got Jordy Nelson, Tyre Whitehead, linebacker. So we got a lot of defensive linemen here. And like I said, what I like about this is we got this huge pool of people to choose from, and I could see some of these people not making the final cut. So, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of these guys are bodies for camp.
Yeah, totally. And that's how a lot of teams work. They bring in a lot of bodies for camp to see who's going to work and who's not. But I do like defensive tackle Justin Ellis agreed to terms for a 3-year, $15 million deal with $6 million guaranteed. Like that guy, so that's good. This is the thing that I like. I like the pickup of Keith Smith, the fullback from the Cowboys. He's back in the Bay Area. I think he went to college in the Bay Area, as well. So I like this guy. I think that, when you have a team that is, headed by John Gruden, you got to have your fullback. And that was his first question in his press conference. Who's our fullback? Keith Smith. He's our fullback. So, there's a lot, several other ones, but those are the ones I wanted to touch base on.
Yep. Well, let's talk about the 2018 NFL draft, otherwise known as what the hell are the Cleveland Browns doing in the first round? Because the draft, I think, did not go quite as everybody was predicting it, especially thanks to the Cleveland Browns, who with the number one pick overall decided to go with Oklahoma QB Baker Mayfield, who most people had ranked as the fourth best quarterback in this draft class. Only Cleveland, Kevin?
Well, I don't know. But it's one of those things where, like, did they see something that, okay, watch the movie Draft Day with Kevin Costner, he's the Cleveland guy. Did he notice something that others didn't?
Well, I mean, okay.
Just watch Draft Day, and that'll make you feel better about Cleveland, yeah. Even though it's a fantasy.
So at number two, the Giants take whom many people thought to be the best player in the draft, running back Saquon Barkley from Penn State. A lot of people said the Giants should take a QB. I think maybe holding off was a smart move for the Giants in the aspect of, I think Eli's got a couple more years.
Oh, yeah,
left,
yeah, yeah.
Let's add to that and draft a quarterback.
Yeah,
next year.
I agree. I think that you had to get that. You had to get Saquon. You had to get him.
Yeah.
That dude is going to be their starter from day one. And I think he's going to be probably a top 10 pick on fantasy drafts.
Yeah. Which, of course, the team that benefits all from this after making a huge trade with the Indianapolis Colts, and they get the guy who I think might end up being the best quarterback in this class, is USC quarterback Sam Darnold.
Yeah, that was a big move. Smart, I think, actually. That's the Jets, right?
Yeah, the Jets. So
the Jets need so much help, man. So yeah, they had to make a move. They had to go for their franchise quarterback. They had to take a risk on one, and hopefully Sam's the guy.
Yeah. Well, and I, you know what, I do like the fact he is going to be playing by a guy who I do consider one of the better veteran QBs to mentor a young kid, and that's Josh McCown. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So now getting back to the Cleveland Browns and what the hell they were doing in the first round, Kevin. Who was the best defensive player in this draft in your mind?
I'm forgetting names here, but I like the guy from Georgia.
There was that, but most people had defensive end Bradley Chubb.
That's right.
The top player. And a lot of people said he could have easily been the number one pick. He is available. You could have had a pass rushing duo of last year's number one pick, Myles Garrett and Bradley Chubb. Oh, no. The Cleveland Browns select Ohio State cornerback Denzel Ward at the number four pick. And this makes it even more upsetting because rushing in at number five, I don't think they could get the card up there fast enough to join Von Miller in Denver, defensive end Bradley Chubb.
That's a good little thing for them.
Not so good for us.
Nope.
But I like a pick at number six by the Indianapolis Colts of the guy who I think is probably the most NFL ready in this draft, and that's guard Quentin Nelson from Notre Dame.
Right.
To help protect Andrew Luck if he's healthy and plays, or make Jacoby Brissett's life in the NFL a little bit easier.
This is true, yes.
At number seven, we had the Bills trade up to select Wyoming QB Josh Allen, who was in a little bit of controversy right before the draft over some tweets he had in high school, which many people considered had a racist overtone.
Yeah, you know, he was in high school, though, and he apologized for that when he got drafted.
Yeah,
I think he apologized more than once, but yeah.
Yeah, this kid reminds me a lot of Carson Wentz. I don't think he's quite as ready as Carson Wentz, but I think he sits for a year, maybe half a season behind A.J. McCarron in Buffalo before he plays. But this guy's got a lot of talent and a huge arm.
The pick that the Bears, this is the guy I was talking about from Georgia, Raquan Smith. This was the defensive guy that Raider fans wanted if he was going to still be around at the number 10 pick. But, you know, we were thinking probably not, but this was the guy we wanted.
Yeah, and I think the next pick, the 49ers taking offensive tackle Mike McClinchy at nine, really convinced the Raiders to make the trade with the Arizona Cardinals, who traded up and got the guy a lot of people thought was maybe the best player and the best quarterback in this drafting, UCLA quarterback Josh Rosen.
I thought he had the best soundbite. He says,
"Oh yeah,"
he said that. Yeah, there was nine wrong picks before me.
Exactly.
You know what? That may be cocky, and people were maybe, but I like that. I thought that was great.
Yeah, no, I thought that was great.
But yeah, that was going to be the Raiders' pick. They were at 10, but they traded back to I think the 15th spot and got some picks out of that too.
Yeah. Now I'm going to kind of just highlight some of the remaining picks through the first round. Pick I love is the Buccaneers at 12, drafting Washington defensive tackle Vita Vey, the big Samoan. That guy's just going to, the next Haloti Ngata. And you always love those big, super strong defensive linemen.
Right. Oh, yeah.
A kind of controversial pick because the Saints traded up a bunch of draft picks to the Packers to move up to 14 to detect defensive end Marcus Davenport, who played at a smaller school, UTSA. I wasn't quite sure about this. And then your Raiders, after the trade with Arizona, getting the 15th pick overall, take offensive tackle Colton Miller from UCLA.
I love this pick. This was something that the Raiders were targeting for offensive tackle. And he, I believe, was in the top three ranked for that position. And this was a need that they needed to protect Carr, and the investment of recently just, you know, offering him that $125 million contract. And this was addressed not only this time, but later on in the draft too. They went defense and offensive line.
Yep. The Bills take linebacker Tremaine Edmonds from Virginia Tech, who was the youngest player in this draft. Then we also have the Chargers getting what many people considered a top five talent in safety, Derwin James. And the Chargers just keep adding talent. I'm telling you, Kevin, if they can ever figure it out, they'd be really, really scary.
Yeah, we keep saying that every year, and what happens?
Yeah. A couple other notables. Wide receiver Calvin Ridley from the Alabama Crimson Tide goes to the Atlanta Falcons to team up with another former Tide wide receiver, Julio Jones. I really like this pick for the Falcons.
Yeah, I think that'll definitely help them out. They were very quiet during the offseason, but mm-hmm. I think they made a mark here in the draft.
Yeah. Number 27, the Seattle Seahawks take Rashad Penny, running back from San Diego State. I thought that was really high for this guy. I thought he was a second, third-round pick at best. Wasn't quite sure about that. But here's a key thing. At 28, the Pittsburgh Steelers take Terrell Edmonds, marking the first time in history a pair of brothers were drafted together in the first round of the NFL draft.
That's cool.
And then lastly, a couple notable picks. The New England Patriots taking Georgia running back Sony Michel at number 31. I like this pick for New England. I think this guy is something special and will definitely be a good replacement for Deion Lewis in their backfield.
I remember hearing here locally that I think Sony Michel's mother was very, very happy that he got picked in the first round, but was a little bummed that she was going to the Patriots.
And I'm calling it now, Kevin. I think the first... The guy, he will be the starting quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens by midseason, Lamar Jackson of Louisville, being drafted, Ravens trading up to the 32 spot to select him.
I like that pick, actually. They need to look forward to the future past Flacco.
Yep. A couple other notable names. Georgia running back Nick Chubb goes to the Cleveland Browns in the second round. USC running back Ronald Jones II goes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Kind of going through here, some names that you might recognize. I think the big one for all of us was in the fourth round, linebacker Shaq Griffin joining his brother in playing for the Seattle Seahawks.
And he was the guy that was missing a hand, right?
Yes, playing for USC, yeah. Goes in the fourth round to Seattle, play with his brother, who also was drafted by Seattle the previous
year.
Very cool. Your Raiders had an interesting pick, I thought. Again, them taking kind of a risk in the third round with LSU defensive end Arden Key.
Is this where you like to take a risk because of something he did in the past? You always like pointing that out with the Raider picks. I notice that.
Well, no, I mean this is but he was a guy a lot of people had first round talent on, but because of his marijuana problem, and in fact he had just gotten out of rehab, plus some other things actually had got him suspended at the end of the season from LSU's football team. There's a lot of talent here if this guy can keep his head
yes.
straight.
Yes. Oh, the Raiders, they went obviously defensive. They went tackle again with Brendan Parker for the third round pick. They also had another third round pick that took, as I mentioned, Arden Key. What was he? He was the defensive end. They went cornerback, yes. Nick Nelson from Wisconsin. In the fifth round, another defensive tackle, Maurice Hurst from Michigan. Fifth round, Johnny Townsend. He's the kicker. They got a kicker from Florida because, of course, they released Marquette King. Azeem Victor, linebacker in the sixth round. Seventh round, they got Marcel Aitman, wide receiver from Oklahoma State. Now, you had a second round pick, not a first round pick, right?
Yeah, we traded our first round pick last year to move up to get Patrick Mahomes, who will be the starter in KC this year. So that's kind of the big thing this year. But Kansas City knew going into this draft, they needed to get defensive players. And they definitely loaded up on that, starting with Breland Speaks, defensive end, Ole Miss. A lot of people think he could be something. He's a little bit of a project, possibly, but he could fill in some pass rushing help. I like their round three pick of number 75 overall, Derek Nandi, a defensive tackle from Florida State. Kansas City was very bad against the run last year, and they needed some better
bodies.
That
dude's big, too, man. Yep. Dude, I'm looking at his picture right now. I'm like, holy crap. Yeah.
Another interesting pick at number 100 overall, Dorian Old Daniel, a linebacker from Clemson. He's a little on the small side for a linebacker, but he could be another guy you put in as a third down pass rusher with some speed. Safety Amari Watts from Texas A&M. This guy is actually a very complete player. His biggest issue was he wasn't much of a ball hawk at Texas A&M, but he was very solid and could easily be the starting safety next to veteran Eric Berry when he comes back from his Achilles injury this year. They also took a cornerback, Tremont Smith, from Central Arkansas in round 6. They needed an extra body. Obviously, Kansas City traded off Marcus Peters because they were tired of the headache that he was bringing them. They did get Kendall Fuller in the Alex Smith deal, so they needed to load up there. They took another defensive tackle, Khalil McKenzie, from Tennessee in round 6, and that kind of sums up their draft. Nothing spectacular, but just filling up the defensive side of the roster because Kansas City is pretty loaded on the offensive side of the roster.
Yeah. So, you know, what I'm seeing here from both our teams is that we don't, and I'm using the phrase sexy picks. We didn't get a lot of those for our teams, but we were filling needs that we needed and also needs that are economical too.
Yeah, very much so. And of course, you know, so we've put a little bit heavy on our team, Kevin. But is there any teams in the offseason that with the moves they made or players they drafted that kind of grab your attention? It's like you're kind of interested to see how certain things might play out.
Well, as much as I tease them, you're right about the LA Chargers. It actually took me an effort to not say San Diego this time.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and you know, I've always said they always seem to make good moves. It just doesn't seem to pay off in the season. They always seem to beat themselves and lose those. They can't seem to close out those close games. They're always losing by like 3 or less points, it seems like. It's really, really weird. You know, I don't know how long they have with, you know, their quarterback. So, but as for, I don't know. What did surprise me, though, was that nice hefty contract that the Falcons gave to Matt Ryan, which made him the richest quarterback or player in the NFL. But, you know, when I look back, there's probably, you know, they probably could have paid some of those other guys even more than him. But when you have your quarterback, you got to pay it. You got to do it. And that's what they were doing. They wanted security and living in Atlanta area. That's all I hear about. gosh, I'm just kind of curious, like what other teams are, what are they doing? You know, like you're close to Tampa Bay. I don't know what they're doing over there, man.
Well, no, actually, Tampa was on my list of interesting teams because last year they spent all this money on offense. It didn't quite pan out because their defense was atrocious. Well, they addressed the defense, and they did it a big way, especially on the defensive line. Tampa Bay has some of the better linebackers in the league, especially with Quan Alexander and Lavonte David. But their defensive line was terrible outside of Gerald McCoy across the board last year. They were counting on Noah Spence, who ended up getting a shoulder injury, so that knocked him out most of the season. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers brought in defensive end Vinny Curry from the Philadelphia Eagles, who was a big player in their rotation last year. They also brought in, obviously, Vita Vey via the draft. They also made a trade and brought in the Giants' Jason Pierre-Paul in the offseason. That was a big move. They also signed a couple of quality defensive linemen that were good, just fundamental rotation guys, good run stuffers. A guy from the Bears, like, whose name I can't remember. And they added a couple other pieces. So Tampa Bay really put an emphasis on their defense this year. And I think it's enough to at least put them, I'm not even going to say playoff contention because they're probably in the toughest division in football this year. When you look at the fact you've got the Panthers, the Saints, and the Falcons all in that same division, but they should be a lot more competitive this year. Of course, I am absolutely fascinated by the Minnesota Vikings because if Kirk Cousins pans out, they should be a Super Bowl contender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the Houston Texans are going to be very interesting to seeing how Deshaun Watson comes back after that injury.
Okay, I teased you all last year. Kyle hates Blake Bortles. What's your take on Jaguars this year?
It's boom or bust for Blake Bortles because that defense is maybe the best defense in football. They added to their offensive line. They've got some quality receivers, and Leonard Fournette's going to be another year in the league. It's all about finding out what Blake Bortles can do. And if Blake Bortles doesn't get them over the hump this year, then it's going to be QB change time in Jacksonville. Mm.
Did they adjust his contract this year? I don't remember.
They assigned him to a 3-year extension, but the way it plays out, it's really basically an additional 1-year deal. Mm.
So they have a choice to, I guess, cut him with no extra, stuff to pay him, I guess.
Yeah, and I think the chemistry experiment that the LA Rams are putting together is going to be quite interesting to watch as
the
well.
The chemistry experience, I like that.
And you know, I'm kind of curious about Denver because I'm sorry. I think Case Keenum's a good guy, but I think he might have been a one-year wonder in Minnesota.
Yeah, that time's gonna, I guess time will tell, but you may be right there. But, you know, he was signed to be the starter in Denver, and I think they're going to give him everything that he needs. You know, I think our Raiders corners are going to be tested in this league
yeah.
or in this division.
I agree with you there. I think, you know, there's a couple of the lower end. I think for me on the offseason, so I was watching what the lower end teams that are trying to improve are. I really, outside of what the Browns did with their first two picks, I'm kind of interested to see what they do. And I really want to see Cleveland win at least a few games this year.
I know. I would too. I would love to see them start putting some success on the field and be competitive, you know, not just be another joke and, you know, and another draft goes by and we're, are questioning like what's going on, you know?
Well, and I think we also see the fall of some teams this year. I think the Seattle Seahawks are headed for a bit of a fall. The Arizona Cardinals, I think, are going to really come back to earth as they both kind of see the end of their kind of successful playoff runs there.
Did they have a playoff run last year?
Arizona? No, they just missed the playoffs last year. Of course, the whole Jimmy Garoppolo situation. When will he finally lose? Yeah.
This is true.
I also look at Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers is going to be due a huge contract at the end of this season.
That's right. You think he's going to get an extension as old as he's getting?
Oh, you know he's going to get an extension. It's just how much is that extension going to be?
Right.
We got a lot of new head coaches as well. There's the whole mess up in Detroit right now going on with Matt Patricia and this 22-year-old sexual harassment charge against him that apparently the Lions never investigated in the first place.
Yeah.
It's the Detroit Lions. It's going to be an interesting NFL season. Of course, we're going to kind of have really what I call the dead time in the NFL. You're going to have rookie OTAs here shortly and stuff like that, but then you're going to hit that dead time until training camp opens in July and then bring it on because in August, preseason football is here. It's time to start paying attention and start watching for your fantasy drafts.
Oh yes,
all that fun stuff.
Yeah, man. That's when we're gonna. That's when we'll have to do definitely another show with that because we'll kind of get an idea of who stays and who goes. But I got a question for you. Looking ahead to the football season, are you actually going to try to manage to go to any games this year?
I don't know. It's hard to down here in Tampa because the weather is so miserable the first half of the season, but I just kind of want to see how it's going to play out too. I got to be honest with you, Kevin. For me, I would much rather be at home watching the NFL on my high definition television.
You're not alone there. I've actually pulled the trigger and purchased a ticket. I will be seeing the Raiders play in Cincinnati. I'll be driving up there because I have some in-laws up near Cincinnati in Kentucky, and going to be I'm excited because I'm going to be reuniting with some of my Raider friends and family I haven't seen in a while that are going to be going to this game, and you will see the Star Wars Mando Raider nerd making an appearance in Cincinnati, assuming they'll let me in the door with that outfit. We still actually have to find out. You know, for the super fans that dress up, they have to, in some cases, they have to ahead of time speak with the security, head of security at these stadiums and say, hey, am I allowed in with this outfit? And sometimes they ask you to send pictures and email. And I've done this before with other stadiums. And there's some stadiums that just aren't having it. They don't want anything covering the head at all. There's several of us that are going to see if we can get away with our costumes or not. Otherwise, I still will be wearing the costume, maybe not at the game. We'll see.
Yeah. One of the things, too, this season I'm looking forward to, and we haven't brought it up yet, is the NFL has once again redefined the catch rule, Kevin. Do we know what a catch is
yet? No. Did they actually change that?
Yeah, they have actually
changed that. Did the rules
committee
finally figure something out?
Well, let's put it this way. You remember the example everybody uses was a Dez Bryant catch against Green Bay a couple of years ago?
Yes.
By the new rules, that's a catch.
Oh, it should have been. Yes. And then recently, what was it?
The Pittsburgh
yes,
Patriots
thank you.
Game.
That game.
That would be a catch as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, that just got ridiculous. That was just too much micromanagement over that. I mean, it's really silly. And I'm really excited to see if that translates well during game time decisions this coming year.
I think we could have a 6,000 yard passer. Drew Brees.
That's funny.
So, well, it has been fun to get back into the NFL, my friend.
Yes, it has. It has, man. We've been nerding out on everything else, and we need to get back to talking some football, which we enjoy doing.
Absolutely. But with that, I think it's time to close out this off-season special. We're going to call a few plays. And, Kevin, you ready to run that long bomb?
Yes, man. I know it's a catch. So give it to me.
Just don't pull a hammy. As once again, Kevin and I make all the plays to hopefully get you once again into the end zone.